Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Love in Basketball podcast. I'm your host, Adam Gerlach. As always, thank you so much for being here, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. The Love in Basketball podcast explores servant leadership on and off the court, seeking a fuller picture and deeper understandings of this vision for leadership that holds people and results together. Today's episode is a solo episode with me, exploring 10 characteristics of a servant leader, a list developed by Larry Spears. Larry Spears is the Servant Leadership Scholar at Gonzaga University, President and CEO of the Spears Center for Servant Leadership, and former President and CEO of the Greenleaf Center for Servant Leadership. With the exception of Robert Greenleaf, perhaps no one has done more for the advancement of servant leadership than Larry Spears. In today's episode, we'll dive into these 10 characteristics and identify how what we've heard from our guests so far connect to these characteristics of servant leadership. Hopefully, this provides some further context, a different lens, as to how the insights and actions of our guests embody a servant leader way of being in the world. Robert Greenleaf's best test of servant leadership asks, do those served grow as persons? Do they, while being served, become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants? And what is the effect on the least privileged in society? Will they benefit or at least not be further deprived? I hope you leave today's episode with some additional characteristics of what servant leadership might look like and some new awarenesses to more greatly fulfill the best test of servant leadership. I hope you enjoy our exploration. Larry Spears developed this list of characteristics of a servant leader by reviewing Greenleaf's original writings and extracting those qualities mentioned most frequently. Surely there are other lists identifying characteristics of a servant leader out there, but the connection of this list to Greenleaf's original writings perhaps provides a more solid foundation if we desire to be with others in a way that supports their becoming wiser, healthier, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants. So with that said, let's begin. These characteristics are listed in the order of the frequency of which they appeared in Greenleaf's writings. I'm not sure what conclusions we may draw from that, but they may highlight the importance Robert Greenleaf ascribed to these characteristics. In order, for 10 characteristics of a servant leader, we have listening, empathy, healing, awareness, persuasion, conceptualization, foresight, stewardship, commitment to the growth of people, and building community. Let's begin with listening. Listening and servant leadership are inextricably linked, so much so that Robert Greenleaf wrote, a non-servant who wants to be a servant might become a natural servant through a long, arduous discipline of learning to listen, a discipline sufficiently sustained that the automatic response to any problem is to listen first. While leadership positions in basketball are often associated with decision-making skills, asserting one's power and viewpoints, servant leadership offers a different perspective and way of being. The world is full of beautifully designed and communicated leadership visions that crash and burn, that never come to be. In these instances, the problem may not be the vision, but that the vision is out of touch with reality. The problem is often a lack of listening. The servant leader is servant and listener first, and this reminds us that oftentimes, if we desire to be of service to others, our expertise and skills need to follow our listening, not precede it. I believe we've seen this characteristic embodied by all our guests thus far. I'm reminded of Gus Arginal, returning to listening in his relationships, emphasizing that he sometimes tries to help first when he knows he needs to listen first. Spears also reminds us that listening encompasses getting in touch with one's own inner voice and seeking to understand what one's body, spirit, and mind are communicating. As Larry Spears also highlights, listening, coupled with regular periods of reflection, is essential to the growth of the servant leader. In these periods of reflection and getting in touch with one's own inner voice, we see a deeper level of listening, one that involves the suspension of old habits, redirecting to see reality from a different angle, and letting go in order to let come new, more life-giving ways of being in the world. Charles Amen might have addressed this when he highlighted that for him, When he begins his days with peace, peace wins. Perhaps on those days, there's a greater attunement with his own body, mind, and spirit. Next, we'll turn to empathy. As Larry Spears highlights, the servant leader strives to understand and empathize with others. We can view empathy as putting ourselves in someone else's shoes, tuning into and understanding what they might be thinking or feeling. I'll encourage us to think of empathy as also involving our hands, metaphorically. At higher levels of empathy, our action changes. We do something differently as a result of having that new perspective or awareness that comes from putting ourselves in someone else's shoes or understanding what they may be feeling. We saw this from Willis Wilson when he highlighted that a leader who happens to coach basketball might ask or consider what's on the mind of a player today. Healing comes next on the list of 10 characteristics of a servant leader. As Larry Spears highlights, the servant leader recognizes they have an opportunity to help make whole those with whom they come in contact. This is not a superficial or spurious healing. This healing is not patching things over. In the pursuit of results, we may often overlook the broken spirits and emotional hurts leaders inflict upon others. Rather than vicious cycles of harm and diminishment, servant leadership is a life-giving form of leadership that helps others to become more whole. We saw the power of healing as a characteristic of servant leadership from Jason Burton. When his team was filled with broken spirits and emotional hurts after two student athletes were killed in a car accident, Coach Burton recognized that he needed to shift his focus to being more relational, that he had an opportunity to help make whole those entrusted to his care. What resulted, perhaps, was an investment in people first, in collective healing, that allowed him and his program to move through loss towards sustained on-court success and greater ways of serving and being with each other. We see awareness next on the list. This is a general awareness and especially self-awareness, and both strengthen the servant leader. Cultivating awareness and self-awareness is often uncomfortable for many of us. We may be forced to uncover things we try to hide from ourselves and others, or be presented with circumstances that challenge our perspectives. But as Spears highlights, awareness lends itself to being able to view most situations from a more integrated, holistic position. There's greater strength in awareness. We've seen this from each of our guests so far. They all had some crossroads or activating moment that cultivated greater awareness that showed them that they were not the people and coaches they thought they were. Robert Greenleaf reminds us that awareness is not a giver of solace. It is just the opposite. It is a disturber and an awakener. Able leaders are usually sharply awake and reasonably disturbed. They are not seekers after solace. They have their own inner serenity. At the time, our guests may not have had their own inner serenity. Awareness served for them to be a disturber and an awakener, allowing them to cultivate greater inner peace as they moved into greater alignment towards the leaders and people they choose to be. We turn next to persuasion. Servant leaders seek to use power with others as opposed to power over others. In this sense, the servant leader seeks to persuade others rather than using positional authority, coercion, or manipulation. This may be one of the sharpest distinctions we see between servant leadership and our more traditional, hierarchical, or command and control forms of leadership. Remember, the best test asks, do those, while being served, become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous? Persuasion in this sense often confronts others with their own freedom, with their own personal responsibility, and thus serves others in becoming healthier and more autonomous. We saw this from Ben Sanders when he provided his experiences with ego-driven leaders who coerced action through cultivating an inward focus based in fear and self-preservation. This stood in contrast to his experiences with servant leaders, which resulted in him becoming wiser, healthier, freer, more autonomous, and moving towards becoming a servant leader himself. After persuasion comes conceptualization. With conceptualization, a servant leader turns towards a longer-term perspective and nurtures their abilities to dream great dreams. As Larry Spears highlights, a conceptualizing perspective means that one must think beyond day-to-day realities and stretch his or her thinking to encompass broader-based conceptual thinking. This is critical for servant leadership, as the servant leader must serve something beyond the existence of itself. Purely reactionary measures keep the servant leader in a survival state. We saw the danger of self-preservation mode from Ben Sanders, highlighted just a bit ago. And in this form, as C. Michael Thompson highlights in his book, The Congruent Life, it's rather like a dog chasing its tail. There's clarity about the goal, but chasing it isn't sustainable forever. And reaching it is little more fulfilling than a mouthful of fur. We may have seen this from Charles Ament when he developed his intentional leadership program at Langham Creek High School. With the development of this program, he thought beyond the day-to-day realities and began to serve something more long-term, beyond the existence of himself, towards a greater mission and purpose, a great dream. Foresight is next on the list and closely linked to conceptualization. Robert Greenleaf describes foresight as the lead that the leader has. Once leaders lose this lead and events start to force their hand, they are leaders in name only. They are not leaders, but are reacting to immediate events. This is perhaps coupled with his definition of leadership, that to lead is to go out ahead and show the way. With any event, foresight helps us to answer, where did it come from and where is it going? In this sense, foresight helps us to learn from the emerging future. This requires a letting go of the past in order to sense and actualize new patterns and ways of being, our highest future possibilities for ourselves and others. As Otto Scharmer states in Leading from the Emerging Future, this is in contrast to reacting against the patterns of the past, which usually means just perpetuating them. Willis Wilson displayed foresight when in pursuit of a new job, he asked, "What would make this a better situation for me?" His answer at the time was relationships. In this response, perhaps he let go of old patterns and definitions of success in order to let come what was wanting to emerge in his world. Stewardship appears next on our list. Peter Block, author of a book titled Stewardship, defines this as holding something in trust for another. This assumes first a commitment to serving the needs of others, rather than using a position, title, or role to fulfill a power drive or for some other form of material or personal gain. We may see a lack of stewardship in athletics when a head coach believes that he or she is the program and that those involved are there to serve the leader. This stands in contrast to the head coach who sees himself or herself as a caretaker of the program and holding the program in trust from those in the past and those to come. Ben Sanders demonstrated stewardship when he highlighted that as an assistant coach for the Windy City Bulls, he interpreted his job to be leaving their players' careers better than they found them. He recognized his role as a steward of that player's career, and as a servant leader, it was his responsibility to hold that career in trust for the player. Would it benefit or at least not be further harmed? We'll turn next to commitment to the growth of people. As a shorthand, I describe servant leadership as a vision for leadership that holds people and results together. With this comes the belief that people have intrinsic value as humans and are viewed as fully human as opposed to objects whose utility might be judged on productivity and results. As such, the servant leader views it as his or her responsibility to nurture the growth of others. As the best test of servant leadership asks, do those served grow as persons? Again, each of our guests so far demonstrated this characteristic. We see this when they invest in people, allow for room for growth and for people to make mistakes, and remain committed to helping others become a higher vision of themselves through time and question asking. And at last, we've arrived at building community. The servant leader recognizes that we cannot be all that we can be without support and challenge and the mutual trust and feedback of others. With these elements, the community developed becomes perhaps a true community, much more than just a collection of individuals mostly agreeing and living with or alongside each other. A true community can be identified by the facilitation of individual growth and collective flourishing through mutual giving and service to one another. Several of our guests highlighted the importance of support and challenge, of mutual trust and feedback. And when Gus Arginald defined what love means for him, he highlighted the importance of transparent communication, that not everything will be perfect, and building a community of people trying to help each other. To review, 10 characteristics of a servant leader that we've explored here today are listening, empathy, healing, awareness, persuasion, conceptualization, foresight, stewardship, commitment to the growth of people, and building community. This is by no means an exhaustive list. It is not the 10 characteristics or the only 10 characteristics of a servant leader, but this list does perhaps offer us some characteristics that are central to the development of a servant leader and some places to begin on your path. This path of servant leadership is indeed a developmental process, something we may never fully arrive at, that we are always in training to become. I continue to invite you on this journey with me. Together we'll explore and learn, struggle and make mistakes, and continue to move towards this long-term, transformational approach to life and work that has the potential for creating positive change throughout our society. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. You'll find resources from this episode to continue your learnings on servant leadership in the show notes. Next week's episode features a conversation with Charlie Turner Thorne, head women's basketball coach at Arizona State University. Coach Turner Thorne has over 500 career wins, is the winningest coach in school history, and number 2 in the Pac-12 in most career wins. Her tenure at Arizona State also features 14 NCAA tournament appearances, 3 Sweet 16s, and 2 Elite Eights. Subscribe now, share with others, and I'd love to hear from you. Rate and comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or reach out with questions, reflections, and feedback via social media. I'd love to hear perhaps what characteristic might be missing from this list, or which characteristic of servant leadership stands out for you. You can find me on Twitter at Adam Gearlock, or Instagram at adam.gearlock, or email me at adam@adamgcoaching.com. I'm so excited to continue to explore servant leadership and share love in basketball with you. Thank you.